now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Live from the Command Center, located deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ, this is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, offer up my views and opinions, news and views you can use on Scripture and society, with a little help from my friends. I am your host on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings and welcome to the program. Glad that you tuned in. I'm really not concerned about offending anybody in this episode, because quite frankly, when you tell people the truth, they're going to get offended anyway. That's the nature of truth. It is offensive. The nature of preaching, the confrontation of people with truth, is offensive to many people. So when it comes to this episode, I'm not really concerned about whether or not I offend. It just will. I was watching the draft. I'm not a real big football fan. I like a good game. And I'm really more of a fan of players, if anything. I like Peyton Manning. He's a very, very good quarterback. And so maybe I should like the draft more, but I don't. Once you get past the first round, maybe the early part of the second round, all the big names are off the board. And, I mean, they drafted three quarterbacks in the first round. Blake Bortles, he was the number three overall pick. And then Johnny Manziel, what was he, number 22? And then number 31, was it? 32, the 32nd pick was that Bridgewater? I think he went to the Vikings. And then even the hometown hero just up the road from Fresno State, Derek Carr, he went in the early second round. So, you know, once you get past the early round, all the big names come off the board. There's not really much more in it. You want to know who was drafted number one. Welcome, by the way, to Live from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in sports radio talk show. But once you get past, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, he was drafted number one overall. Once you get past that, it's, you know, who's getting drafted where? Who cares? Who really cares? But I did check in from time to time throughout the second, third, fourth through seventh round. Saturday I was checking in a bit. And to be honest, I was kind of surprised. Yeah, surprised, because there was a name that I wasn't seeing, someone who was not drafted. And it was shocking. I couldn't believe that those 32 teams, they just kept passing this player right on by. It's not a mystery if you know that, for one, the player's not really that good. Okay, he's not outstanding. He's not a top round, top five draft pick, contrary to what popular belief was a couple of months ago, and there was a reason why they were saying that. But anyway, he's not that good. But still, I was perplexed. I couldn't help but think, why isn't this guy gone yet? And it was nearing the end of the draft. I mean, we're talking about late seventh round. There are only 256 picks in the draft. Number 256, by the way, is Mr. Irrelevant. And we were getting close. I was beginning to think, man, we're within 10 picks of the end of this draft. And I thought, how ironic would it be if this player was drafted, number 256, Mr. Irrelevant? Because that's the award you get when you're drafted last, 256. How crazy would it be if he went undrafted? Nobody picked him up. And then there'd be all kinds of speculation, all kinds of talk about the NFL. Because the player I was looking for, and I wasn't seeing his name, was Michael Sam. For those of you just joining the program, Michael Sam came out a couple of months ago as a homosexual man. And he was interviewed by all the big names, you know, all the news media. ESPN had a special on him. In fact, as it got later and later into the draft, they aired this special promo piece for Michael Sam. Almost as if saying to the NFL teams, hey, listen, don't forget, you guys need to pick this guy up. Because we need to be the league of tolerance. We need to be elite. And that would be the thing. If he went undrafted, what does this say about the NFL? Nothing. Maybe the question is, what does it say about Michael Sam as a player? He's not that good. He's not. The numbers aren't there. They were even saying this stuff. The analysts were. They were saying, listen, he's just not that good a player. Shouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get picked up, or if at the very least he gets picked up late in the seventh round. But for some reason, because he came out as a homosexual man, he's got to be drafted. Because if he isn't drafted, I mean, the NFL becomes a league of homophobes. They're homophobic and bigoted and all this stuff. So, yeah, we've got to draft. And he did get drafted, number 249. Okay, he was seven picks away from the end. He was drafted. And oh my goodness, just the crowd goes wild. At least those few folks who managed to stay throughout the entire draft who were still there. He's going to St. Louis. He played for Missouri, so it's kind of in his own backyard. But, man alive, he just kept falling farther and farther down the draft lineup. And then after he was drafted, you know, there were no cameras in any other player's home who was drafted late. I mean, we're talking late seventh round. No other player had cameras, but Michael Sam did. And they kept cutting to live shots of Michael Sam when he got the phone call. There was apparently a video camera. ESPN had a camera there in his home. They were waiting for this because they knew it's going to happen. Because the NFL isn't going to go down as a homophobic, bigoted league. I mean, the NBA has a player, Jason Collins, who is playing, and he's homosexual. So the NFL, we got to get this kid on a roster somewhere. So the cameras are rolling. He gets the phone call. He's crying. His boyfriend is there with him. They're both bawling. And then they showed them kissing. Yes, that's right. Michael Sam and his boyfriend, they kiss on live national television. ESPN is airing this. Like this is normal. This is natural. But it wasn't just the one shot. You see, they cut away from that and come back to the analysts who were talking about the draft and, you know, what this means for the NFL. Michael Sam trying to you know, paint this in a, after basically saying this kid's not really that good. Now they're saying, well, you know, he's kind of whatever. But then they keep going back. They keep cutting back to Michael Sam, and they would show again him getting the call. And him and his boyfriend kissing. And then they show later shots and they're still kissing. They cut back to the analyst. They cut back a third time to Michael Sam and his boyfriend. They're smearing cake on one another's face and basically licking it off one another. What in the world is going on here, ESPN? Are you serious? I didn't tune into the draft to see two grown men licking cake off one another's face. I wonder what other players that got drafted were doing that kind of garbage. Oh, but I'm offensive. Yeah, I'm the one who's offensive here because I'm bringing this up. Nobody else is talking about this. Go to any other radio talk show, any other internet. You're not going to get this anywhere else. This kind of cutting edge reportage. Was anybody else just grossly offended by that? No, but we're supposed to be tolerant. We're supposed to, hey, Jesus, what, you know. No! It's wrong! Wrong! What in the world's going on here? What do you think ESPN's doing here? Where they're showing this. They keep cutting back again and again. Trying to get these shots of Michael Sam and his boyfriend kissing, I guess. Trying to get shots of them making out. This is part of the movement. I've talked about it before. This is part of the movement to normalize this kind of stuff. Just, hey, this is normal. It's just a normal reaction with two homosexual men making out with one another, smearing cake and licking it off each other's faces and all this stuff. That's just normal. Normal. Again, I've talked about it before. That's exactly what this is. They're trying to normalize this activity. They're showing it on national TV, national broadcast. He just got drafted, and now he and his boyfriend are doing that stuff. They're watching the draft. Well, maybe they're not. You know, hopefully it was so late in the round, I was the only one watching. So late in the draft, nobody else was watching. But I bet you there were. I wonder what some of the other men at home who were watching the draft, because I doubt there were any women who were watching it. I wonder what they thought about that. Or maybe the women that were watching, they were forced by their husbands to watch, you know. What were these men thinking? Is that, they keep showing these two men kissing each other. Do I need to rehearse what the Bible says about this? Search the archives of the program. You'll see I've got several episodes where I devote a lot of time talking about not only philosophy is against this, natural law is against this, but also Scripture is clear in condemning homosexuality categorically, and the early church fathers are clear in their teaching. They just continue the teaching of the New Testament, of the Bible concerning this stuff. But there's something more insidious that's going on here. Why do you think they keep showing this? Why do you think they keep trying to normalize this kind of behavior as acceptable? There is an agenda, an underlying motive behind all of this. You see, the thing is the proponents of the homosexual agenda and the homosexual crowd will say that they just love each other. And that's all we want. We just want people who love one another to have a stable and loving relationship with each other. And that's really what this is all about. We just want them to love one another. But the thing is, these people have largely rejected the biblical testimony. They have rejected natural law, which is essentially they've rejected God. And so do you think those who have rejected God, you think they're going to tell you the truth? For them, there is no ninth commandment. That business about bearing false witness. Underlying that is a basic affirmation of truth. These folks have rejected God. So there is no God who has uttered the Ten Commandments. There is no ninth commandment about not bearing false witness against your neighbor, about not lying to one another and telling the truth to. So, no, they're not going to tell you the truth about why they keep pushing this kind of stuff, this kind of agenda, why they keep airing it on live national television. They're not going to tell you the truth about that. You're going to get the truth right here, though. You want to know why they're doing this? It's because they are trying to not only normalize this stuff, but actually move it forward to the next step, which is the full-blown embrace of pedophilia and other actions just like that. Yeah, that's where this is going. NAMBLA. You ever hear of them? That's where this is going. What they want to normalize this homosexual behavior, and it's ultimately for the purpose of eventually living out their deepest fantasies of engaging in sex with children. Don't doubt me on this. And there's reporting to back this up. Out of the UK, there was an article about bringing pedophilia out of the darkness and things like that. That's where this is going. And of course they're not going to tell you the truth about that. They're gonna lie and say, yeah, this is about people having loving relationships with one another and expressing that and loving. I mean, that's what they talk about with the Bible. They dismiss every single passage of Scripture concerning homosexuality. They dismiss them, explain them away somehow, even take other passages, and due to their hypersexuality, they revision history, like David and Jonathan. Because the thing for them is, the Bible does not condemn homogenital relations. Scripture is not against homogenital activity. What the Scripture is opposed to is the attitude in that activity. You see, if it's not expressed in a loving, nurturing relationship, well, then it's bad. But if it is in the context of a loving, supportive, caring relationship, then it's good. And God would never be upset with that kind of behavior. And then the next step is children. If children want to express their sexuality in a loving relationship with a caring adult who loves them and cares for them, then who are we to get in the way? Now, that's where this is heading. That's where this slow-moving train is going. Why Michael Sam has video cameras in his home on draft day when no other seventh-round player does. Mr. Irrelevant didn't have a camera in his home. You know why? Nobody knew if he was going to be drafted. But they knew. They knew Michael Sam was going to be drafted. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here that somehow, some way, what's the commissioner's name for the NFL? Not coming to me. Doesn't matter. That somehow, you know, he pulled some strings late in the draft or even before the draft and said, listen, I don't care what you have on your schedule. If you're near the end of this thing and he still hasn't been drafted, you pick him up because I will not have this. I don't know about that. That's. But there was some idea that the NFL isn't going to allow this to happen and Michael Sam would be drafted even if it was 249. Up to this point, I've been somewhat caustic, perhaps. But, I mean, put yourself in my shoes. Maybe you are. You are in my shoes. You're outraged by this. It's outrageous that ESPN would put something like that on the air. And that's the reason for, if anything, the tone of today's episode. But and for others of you that are listening, you don't get it. You don't understand. I'm giving you truth, and this is just going to be more ammunition, as it were. That's the nature of things. That's to someone who doesn't want the truth. When you give them truth, you're just giving them ammunition for further misinterpretation. And but I don't really care about that. You want to take this, you want to mangle it, and so be it. You're going to do your own thing. My obligation, though, is to tell people the truth about the situations that arise in the world from a biblical perspective. We should be outraged when we see sin paraded on the television. Should be. We should not applaud that kind of behavior. I am persuaded, though, that there are some of you who are listening, who when you hear the truth, you will respond appropriately. You see, there is good news to this story. There is gospel here. And that is that Jesus Christ did come into this world to die for sinners. And Michael Sam, just like me, is one of them. And Christ can take a homosexual man, a homosexual woman, transform them and change them into a holy and a righteous individual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you get a description of the makeup of the Corinthian congregation. Starting in verse 9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. They were these things, all these things, but you'll notice, relative to what we're talking about in this episode, they were homosexual offenders. They were male prostitutes. That is the active and the passive participants in the act of homosexuality, both of them. You were some of these things, not anymore though. You see, the cross of Christ had transformed them, had changed them. They were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified. They no longer lived like they once did in the passions of their flesh, indulging their desire, the desires of their body. They had abandoned those. And they had been saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, there is much in the Bible that condemns homosexual behavior, or, as some call it, same-sex sexuality. That's true. But the Bible also says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm included in that. But we are justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Yes, we can be saved by grace through faith, saved by the grace of God, by obedient faith. Paul talks about the obedience of faith earlier in Romans 1 and verse 6. Verse 5. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. That's what God is calling you to. It's what he's calling me to, calling all of us to. Obedience to the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ did come into the world to save sinners. And that, by the way, again, it includes all of us. All of us are miserable, wretched sinners in need of the grace of God. I'm not better than anybody else. There is none that is good, no, not one. No one does good, not even one. He says that later on in Romans. No one is good but God alone. But I am speaking as one informed by the mind of God, which is contained in Scripture. When it comes to the homosexual marriage, homosexuality debate, there really is no debate. God has spoken his opinion on the matter. It is merely a function of whether or not we will align ourselves with his will or continue in self-will. This half hour brought to you by Sunset International Bible Institute. Located in beautiful Lubbock, Texas, SIBI seeks to train whole persons to communicate the whole gospel to the whole world, wholly to please God. With a gifted staff of teachers who value the Word of God, who value the Church of Christ, and who value the lost of the world, SIBI offers and provides the best biblical training anywhere. Go online and visit sibi.cc or call 1-800-658-9553. Sunset International Bible Institute, training men and women for over 50 years.
And now it's time for the Question of the day on life from a pulpit.
Is there any New Testament scripture that tells us we don't always have to tell the truth? Is there any New Testament scripture that tells us we don't always have to tell the truth? Not that I'm aware of. I did a quick search of the word truth in the New Testament. And in fact, what you find is Jesus first and then Paul both get in trouble for telling the truth. Or at least people get upset when they tell the truth. Jesus says in John 8:45, "Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." And Paul in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" So you see there, both Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they tell the truth no matter what. In fact, when you end up with an idea that it's okay in some cases not to tell the truth, you end up with a Machiavellian type of, well, the ends justify the means, and it's okay to do bad stuff every now and again, so long as good things happen. That's incorrect. We do the right thing no matter what. No matter what may come, we stand by the truth. We stand on the side of truth because ultimately, Jesus has said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we want to align ourselves with the truth because, well, Jesus himself is the truth. Scripture also talks about those who perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. This is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. So, and I think that's very appropriate to what I've talked about in this episode of people, they refuse to tell the truth about what they're really about. They refuse to love the truth. And ultimately, it leads to their condemnation, not their salvation. And in fact, because they refuse to love truth, they love error and darkness more than they love truth. Verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie." And the lie that that many people are telling themselves is that God's okay with homosexual behavior. He's fine with immoral behavior. He's fine with me telling a lie every now and again, rather than telling the truth always. Maybe they have bought into the powerful delusion concerning the type of behavior which is appropriate. And they've believed a lie even straight from the devil himself. And so Paul concludes this section in 2 Thessalonians 2, "And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but delighted in wickedness," or they delighted in unrighteousness, I believe is how another, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's how it reads in the English Standard Version. And that's really what the whole homosexual agenda is about, is pleasure and seeking to please themselves in their unrighteous behavior. And they delight in their wickedness and they want to show it on national television. But the grim reality is that that kind of behavior not only is not pleasing to God, but it's one that rejoices in a lie, error. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast, update the blog, or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And I have several Question of the Day segments there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. At In Pulpit, at the letter N as in Nick Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T, to follow me on Twitter. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Life from the Pulpit, and download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org, for plenty of sermon audio to help you in your daily walk as well. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.